It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. I'm live on Sunday mornings here on News Talk WSB. Our phone number, 404-872-0750. And my website is thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you're not signed up for our free weekly newsletter, you should be, because there's really cool stuff going on there. And then also follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. We've been tweeting all morning websites and phone numbers for the HARP program, Home Affordable Refinance, loan mods, other kind of information I've found along the way, things that I absolutely think you'll be interested in. All of that comes to you directly from Twitter. I found it is the most effective, quick way of getting you in touch with the information you need. So follow me online at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and join the conversation. So every month, a company called CoreLogic reports the numbers of foreclosures, completed foreclosures in the country. And the number for May, which is the most recent numbers that are just out, May of 2012, there were 63,000 completed foreclosures in the month. That's a good number. That's a really high number, but that's a good number because it was 77,000 in May of 2011, so a year ago. And it is slightly worse than the number from April of 2012, where it was 62,000. The report also keeps a running tally of how many foreclosures there have been since 2008. And this number is shocking, shocking to me. 3.6 million homes have been lost to foreclosure since September of 2008. Think of all those families and their children and their siblings or their parents who were staying with them, and think about how that just kind of cascades through communities and through families and the destruction that that has brought. At 3.6 million. It's huge. It's 1% of this country. Right now, about 1.4 million homes are currently in the national foreclosure inventory. That is the share of all mortgaged homes at some stage of the foreclosure process. It is down slightly from a year ago. It is the same as it was in April of 2012. You're looking at about 2,400 completed foreclosures every day over the last 12 months. Every day in this country, 2,400 people lose their homes. They hand back the keys and they walk away and it's all done. Now, how does this make for good news? And the answer is it does and it doesn't, right? There is such a backlog of foreclosed homes. And stimulating demand for those homes has been very, very difficult. There are people who are trying to buy huge tracts of foreclosed homes in places like Nevada and in Arizona and Michigan. And in those three states, there has been a 20% decline in foreclosure activity from a year ago. But it's rising in Hawaii, New York, and Connecticut. The states with the highest number of foreclosures in May: California, Florida, Michigan, Texas, Georgia. Georgia had 57,000 completed foreclosures last year in the past 12 months. And those five states accounted for almost 50% of all foreclosures nationally. Now, where do you want to go if there are no foreclosures or very few foreclosures? South Dakota, District of Columbia, North Dakota, West Virginia, Hawaii. It's just how it goes. But what does it say about where we are that there are just so many homes and so many people falling into foreclosure? And we've already had calls today. One of our callers said his wife just lost her job. they're going to, I have advised them to look into going into foreclosure. I don't think there's going to be a principal reduction for them. We're not done yet. So I am thrilled that I had a call yesterday as I was filling in for Mark Arum from a realtor who said that in her communities, in certain price ranges, there are just not enough homes, and they're now seeing multiple offers, and then the property prices are going up. That sounds good. The problem, as we heard from Roslyn, is that the townhouse next to her just sold for $110,000, and she's $50,000 underwater. So you can have a bidding war and not enough, you know, then the appraisals go out and there are not enough home sales at the new higher level to justify that price, and then those sales fall apart. That's why we're seeing pending home sales trend higher, but the actual completed sales aren't really going anywhere. There is a significant number of homes that are just not selling at a price point that could be supported or proven at the right level to a bank. And banks have gotten very, very tough about proving value. And you could say and make the argument, well, if three people want to pay $175,000 for that house, it must be worth it. That's what a market economy is. And I'm here to tell you that that's where we got into the trouble back in 2002, 2003, 2004, and 2005, because that's what lenders did. They said, oh, well, three people bidding on it, and appraisers, you know, said, oh, well, I guess that's what the market value is, and it just kind of get built up, built up, built up. And that is what a bubble feels like. So you can say we're under the level now, so we have to get back up to it, but it's going to be a slow process. It's not going to happen overnight. And anybody who thinks it is and does and is trying to tell you that it is does not truly understand how real estate works. Falls fast, builds slowly every time. 404-872-0750. It is 14 minutes past the hour. Let's go to the phones. Amy joins us on the line. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Elise. My question, we bought our house 3 years ago, and we've got a 30-year mortgage. And when the appraisal came in, it came in at 580. We refinanced a few months ago to a 15-year. And when the appraisal came in, it was $480,000 less.
I'm sorry.
So, you know, our closing cost us $400 total, so not bad there. And so when I questioned the mortgage company about it, because, you know, we have two garages, one detached and one attached, and the detached garage wasn't on and things like that. And so it's a unique property. But my question was, or he said, well, you know, it really doesn't impact your loan because, you know, number one, you're not paying for it, and, you know, it's not a it's not an issue because of the amount of equity you have in it, blah, blah, blah. So my question is, and he also said it was a government inspector. So two questions.
It was a government what? I'm sorry, it was a government
inspector.
Uh-huh.
So my question is, do we have government inspectors on houses like we do lunches? And you know,
not that I've known. You're over the limit for getting a government loan. So I don't think you got an FHA loan, and not at $480,000.
Well, we only financed $250,000.
Okay.
So I don't know if that makes.
Did you get? Why would you get an FHA loan? I'm sure you didn't.
But
I don't know about. I don't know what he means by a government inspector.
Okay.
I don't know what that means, but I agree with most of what he's telling you. So I joke with my husband, Sam, that we're no longer allowed to refinance our loan because every time we do, the appraised value of our house comes in another $100,000 less.
Yeah.
It means nothing. I have 75% equity in my home, but it's annoying and, you know, debilitating emotionally to see that my house is still falling in value, but it's meaningless.
Okay.
You have to divorce yourself from what a number on the paper says to you about your house. You refinanced for $400. You got a 15-year loan. I'm guessing it's somewhere in the 3% range?
Yes, 3.75.
Awesome. Unless you are prepared to go to a 10-year loan at 2.875 or 3%, you should be totally happy with this. Let it go. And just continue focusing on living your life and being so excited that you're paying very, very little for your money.
Okay.
The true level of what value is meaningless. unless you're going to sell your house. It's a little bit like stocks that way. I hesitate to always to make this comparison because people get nervous, but if you buy a share of stock and the stock goes up 20% one day and down 15%, and then it goes up 16%, and then it goes down 50%, and none of it matters, right? You just feel better or worse, but it doesn't matter till it comes time to sell. Then it matters what day, where the price is of the stock on the day you're going to sell. Same thing with a house.
All right, then.
You got to let it go.
Let it go. Okay.
Go enjoy the heat.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. 17 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Mitchell joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Mitchell. Mitchell, you with us? I don't think so. 17 minutes past the hour, let's try Albert. Albert, you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, what's going on?
I had a question about selling a house that is actually less than the purchase price, but at or near the current equity value in the house.
Okay.
In that case, does the seller actually get a tax break in terms of a capital gains loss?
Is this a house you live in or a house you're investing in?
Well, I'm looking for houses to invest in, so I'm just trying to see if that's an incentive for someone to look for someone to actually purchase their house.
Well, okay, so let's back up to the 30,000-foot level. Investing in property is very different from buying a house to live in, right?
Yes.
When you buy a personal residence and you sell it and you lose money, too bad. You don't get anything. There is no tax break for that. But if you have an investment property and you sell that investment property for less than you pay for it, then there could be a break depending on how you do your taxes down the line.
Again, what I'm suggesting is that someone that has a house, for example, that initially had a price of say, $250,000, and they put $50,000 down, but they wound up with an interest rate, and because of circumstances recently, that mortgage payment is hurting. And so maybe they want to be able to get out of that house and to get into something smaller, less expensive, more affordable. If someone comes by and offers them a price that's equal to the equity that they have in the house, now we're talking about the person being that's their private residence. It's not
a
rental property or something like that. And so if they sell it then for the $200,000 to get out from under it, they basically have had a $50,000 loss.
Correct, and I'm telling you they don't get a tax break for that.
They don't?
No.
Okay, I'm surprised. Because if they bought the house for $250,000 and sold it for $300,000, they certainly would have to pay a $50,000 capital gains on it.
No, they wouldn't.
No?
No.
Oh.
Let me educate you.
Straighten me out.
Okay. So the rules are that if you have a primary residence and you've lived there for at least 2 years, 24 months, and you sell it, you get to keep the first $250,000 if you're single in profits tax-free. If you're married, you get to keep the first $500,000 in profits tax-free.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yep, that's been in place for, at least, 12 years.
Okay.
Maybe longer. So
how does that work in reverse, where you don't get the capital gains loss or the capital loss?
You don't get a loss. You just lose the money. There is no tax benefit if you lose on a primary residence.
Okay, I'm surprised at that also.
Okay, well the let me tell you where to go to read up on it. You can go to the IRS.gov website. And what you're looking for is IRS publication, I think it's 523, Selling Your Home.
Mm-hmm.
And it will run down the rules for you.
All right, I'll go check that out.
All right.
Yeah. You know, the other interesting thing is, with these days and times, with everyone having problems with making their mortgage payments and the price of housing going down significantly, why aren't the prices for cars and TVs and food and gas bills and insurance, why aren't they dropping proportionally?
It's a great question, Albert. I think that we did see sales go down dramatically of new cars, and we did see prices drop a little bit. But houses are a special case. That's why we talk about real estate every single week on the show. I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We have a prize pack coming up. I'll be right back to move that on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
27 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks so much for joining us today. Prize pack to give away, and it's awesome. It includes a pair of tickets to see Crosby, Stills, and Nash in concert July 14th, the day after my birthday, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents. I actually saw them this past December. They were amazing. I was just amazed how they can still do harmonies. A pair of tickets to see Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition, and a pair of tickets to see Bodies, the exhibition, now at Atlantic Station. Prize value, $198. We're going to give it away to the fifth caller. The phone line, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Fred. He's the one taking your call. All right, 28 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a short break for news, weather, and traffic. It is really hot out there, folks. Take a sip of water. I just went and got some iced coffee. Hang out with us a little longer, and we're going to get to more of your questions next. I'll be tweeting during the break on News Talk WSB.
Pack my bags last night.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
36 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Hey, you know, I'm going to be sitting in for Clark on Wednesday, which is very exciting. I hope you'll be able to join us for that as well. And I think I've got another fill-in date coming up maybe next weekend as well. So lots of extra time to talk about real estate and money. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. We've had a whole bunch of people do that today, and we are having just a robust conversation about it. So at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Totally delighted to have you join us. In fact, I just put out that I had gotten some iced coffee during the break and wondering what you're drinking to stay cool, and somebody just tweeted me Coca-Cola, but of course, it's Atlanta. 404-872-0750. Tim from Swanee was the winner of our prize pack. Congratulations. Enjoy that Crosby, Stills, and Nash concert. I always, always love hearing them. All right, let's go back to the phones. Bill joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Elise, it's Bill Holcomb.
Very nice to have you on the air.
My daughter, Lindsay, purchased a condo in Stuart, Florida for $185,000 in May of 2010, and she and her husband lived in it until they were transferred to Birmingham about less than a year ago. The Homeowners Association allowed them to rent the condo. They were unable to sell it at the time. They purchased it for $185,000, and now the Homeowners Association is trying to reduce the number of units that can be rented. Do they have any recourse? The board seems to be somewhat dysfunctional. There are only three members on it, and one of them just quit due to harassment by owners, and we just wondered what kind
of... Oh, my gosh, can you imagine that poor man's life? I'm sure he quit from harassment from owners. I mean, think about it. Everybody's unhappy. You know, the problem that these condo and townhouse homeowners associations are having, Bill, just so you understand, their problem is that nobody can get financing if too many units are rented.
So
you can't get people to buy if they can't get loans, and so they're going to have to draw the line at some places, and it sounds like your daughter's getting caught. Now, oftentimes they'll grandfather in for a certain number of years to give you some flexibility, but if she was last one in, she could be first one out.
Yeah, I think they presently allow like 10 to 20% of the units to be rented, and I think they're trying to cut it down to about 10%.
Right.
But the fact that they were allowed to rent it And now they're changing that. They're threatening on the next renewal in September they won't allow her to keep renting it.
Okay, and they have every right to do that, I'm sure.
Is there much recourse that she might have other than trying to get new members elected to the homeowners association?
Well, she can try that. She could also sell her unit.
Yeah, she will try to sell it again. That's one that they will certainly try to do that. They owe about 174, and one unit sold recently for 167, so they're not too far underwater on it.
So great. So she should try and sell it. She should get enough money together to just pay off the difference, and she should move on. I mean, she's not living there anyway. So
correct. They had tried to sell it when about a year ago, and the market was so bad they were unable to, and that's the fear she has.
Yeah, well, the market is now a little better in some places, but not better in others, and she might get lucky if it looks good and it's been well taken care of, and if the subdivision is good, and, you know, she might get lucky. Hopefully it is. I mean, just in general, Bill, if she had any idea that she was going to be transferred in 2 years, you know she should have never bought it.
Oh, that's correct. She didn't know at the time. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to have a sort of a long-term vision of 5 to 10 years to stay in a house these days, because it's just so hard to make this move. And she's obviously, you know, it's in a tough position. But she... You know, the condo divisions, the condo boards have every single right, homeowners associations, to make changes that are in the benefit of the whole community, even if it hurts individual residents.
Right. But I guess there's no sense they allowed her to do it, and they're changing that provision now.
They can change it. They can change it. She's out of luck.
I thought maybe she should see a lawyer, but I don't know if that would pan out at all.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not an expert in Florida homeowner association law, but in general, homeowner associations can make changes, and if they say, well, by reducing the amount of rentals that we have, we'll be able to sell our house, get these things sold and off the market, and property values are going to go up, it's pretty hard to fight that.
Okay.
So now she has to think about trying to sell. And I wouldn't wait until September. I would talk to the tenant and say, look, we got to get this thing sold. We'd like to get it sold, start selling it. Would you be willing to let our real estate agent come through now and again if she has some interest in it? And I would start looking for the right realtor now, and I would start preparing the website and figuring out what you need to do to get it in shape to sell and get it sold.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Elise. I was just wondering if there might be other avenues. They're great financially, able to make the payments now with the rental income and everything. So it's just a matter of they need to sell it. They know that. So
well,
it looks like that's their first priority is to sell it.
Yeah. I mean, if she wants to go sit on the board, and usually they don't have absentee owners sitting on the board, but if she wants to go sit on the board and go to the meetings every month and she wants to participate, but she lives far away now.
Right.
So that's just not practical. So you have to say, well, you know, I can try and fight this and spend $20,000 on a lawyer to get them to change their minds, which they probably won't do, because the reason they're doing this is so people can qualify to buy in the subdivision, which is actually good for me.
Right.
Or she can just live with it.
Okay.
I think living with it is the right move here.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Elise.
You're very welcome, Bill. I hope it works out for your daughter. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 is our number. Bob joins us on the line from Dunwoody. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Elise. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I thought I needed to call you. I'm trying to refinance from a 30-year to a 15-year fix.
I love that move.
Well, here's my problem. I, like everybody else, my value has dropped, plummeted, I guess I should say.
That's a hard word to say. I'm sorry.
I had equity in my house up until not long ago. So I last refinanced in June of 2010. I'm now below, the 80% loan-to-value ratio. And in order to refinance, I'm being told that because I refinanced in June 2010, I can't take advantage of HARP. And I have to show up at closing and make up the difference between that loss in equity to make the 80% loan to value. So they said anybody who's refinanced after May of 2009 is kind of, out of luck.
Yeah, you're out of luck. You can't do it that. You there is a cutoff.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is called a cash-in refinance, and that's what you would have to do it. And it probably wouldn't make sense if you can't get to that 80% level simply because you will have to pay private mortgage insurance, and that'll eat up any of the value of the savings.
Right. It sounds like the only way to do this is to show up with the thousands of dollars that they want to make that 80%.
Right, but there's another way. So what's the interest rate that you're at now?
It's not bad. It's at 4.75.
Okay. 4.75 up until about, a year ago was considered like an unbelievable interest rate.
Right.
So if you want to make your 30-year loan into a 15-year loan and you don't want to refinance or you can't, just start double paying or put in an extra 2 to 3 payments a year, and you'll probably bring it down from a 30-year to a 21-year loan.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just adjust what you're paying and at that amazing rate. And by the way, the difference between 4.75 and, let's say, 3.75, or which you might get, is not that great. So the interest savings, when you get lower and lower, it's, it's not as significant. So you could start doubling up on payments if you have the extra cash, and you can just bring it down directly. And before you know it, you'll actually be at a place where you'll be able to refinance, probably by the beginning of next year. And interest rates are not going up so anytime soon.
Okay.
So what you can do is just take this next year, take the next 6 months, next year, and you can prepay your mortgage at the 4.75%. And then if you still want to refinance down to a 15-year, you'll be able to do that.
I see. In other words, instead of putting out all that cash now to get the lower rate, go ahead and pay down the mortgage, get it down to the 80%, and then refinance because the rates will still be low.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Will they be this low? No, but I think you'll still, in another 6 months, I think you'll be able to get a 15-year loan in the 3% range.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bob. Thanks for calling the show. 46 minutes past the hour on News Talk WSB. Will joins us on the line from Mableton. Hi, Will.
Hi, Will.
Will, can you hear me? You sound like you're underwater.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. What's going on?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I have a home in Greenwich that I'm getting a pretty good interest rate of 4.25. And I wasn't able to take advantage of the HOP program, but I checked into the HAMP program to see if I can be qualified for it. Due to the fact that I'm having problem financially. And they turned me down in this, and I wanted to get your insight on this, what I can do, and if there is a place that I can report them to my bank. I can report them to see if I can, if they can.
Okay, Will, I'm going to stop you right here. I'm having a really hard time understanding you. So your interest rate is 4.25%, and you cannot make that loan? You can't make the payment?
I'm having some trouble making the payment right now, yes.
Okay. So if you want to look into a loan modification, you need to go to makinghomeaffordable.gov, and you need to call 888-995-HOPE, HOPE. It's the Homeowner Hope for Hotline, Homeowners Hope Hotline. 888-995-HOPE and talk to a HUD-certified housing counselor to figure out whether you qualify for HAMP refinance. There are some very specific rules about HAMP refinances. There are some principal reduction, but it's very hard to qualify. And so you're going to have to go and work out whether or not you qualify. And there are all kinds of things that disqualify you. But going to makinghomeaffordable.gov is going to be the first place for you to start. 48 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Mitchell, you're on the air. Welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Thanks, Elise, for taking my call.
Cool. Sure. What's on your mind?
I'm a 50-year-old man who's been happily married since 2008, and my house is totally paid for. I paid that off in 2004, and I'm having the hardest time of borrowing money at all, any bank. I've gone to credit unions. I just can't get someone to loan me money.
What do you need money for?
Well, I want to I want 25 to 50 grand to do just some upkeeps on the house.
So you're looking for a home equity line of credit or a home equity loan?
Right. I've tried HELOC.
Okay. And why do they tell you that they won't lend you the money?
Well, the reason, because my credit was so horrible from almost, I guess, 10, 11 years ago.
Okay. Well, after 10 or 11 years, your credit shouldn't be that horrible if you've paid everything on time and if you've been careful about what you've done. And it sounds to me like maybe you haven't been so careful with your credit. So you need to start by figuring out what is still on your credit report that can help you. And if you're applying all over town and getting turned down, that alone is going to sink it. So start with annualcreditreport.com. Pull a copy of your free credit history. You can pay for a copy of your credit score, if you want, from Equifax. It's about $9. And try to figure out what's going on. Because after 11 years, if you've had clean credit since then, you should have no trouble getting a home equity loan or line of credit. But if you're not, it tells me you still have a problem that you haven't fixed. And until you actively go out there and fix the problems that are on your credit history, maybe there are mistakes that are being reported, maybe somebody has stolen your identity and is charging up a storm and not paying those bills, until you understand what's wrong, you can't start to fix it and turn things around. So annualcreditreport.com, that's where you need to start. 51 minutes past the hour, I'm Elise Glink. Don't forget to pick up today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There's all kinds of in-depth reporting on the health care Supreme Court decision, the ACA decision by the Supreme Court that upheld President Obama's plan. You can read all about it in today's Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be right back with more News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
57 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks so much for joining me today. Sandy joins me now from Stone Mountain. Sandy?
Yes.
We just have a minute. How can I help you?
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm going to be appealing my taxes for 2011. They bumped up my current value to $161,000, and last year it was $103,000.
Yep.
So that means it went up to approximately 55%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're saying the value is. And I know for a fact it's gone down in price because of all the homes selling in the area.
So let me give you a quick tutorial on how to appeal taxes. You have a very limited window when you can appeal your taxes. And what you'll want to do is do a market, you'll appeal them based on market conditions. And you'll go with some sales figures, which hopefully your friendly real estate agent will give you, or you can actually find that out yourself. And you're going to go in and make a presentation to the tax assessor that there is no way the property value went up, and in fact, it went down. And so you'll show homes that are in a similar tax classification as yours with all of the funds, the amount that they've sold for, and they will probably agree with you. But what may not change is the cap rate. There's a percentage that they charge you with the taxes. So even if your value goes down, that may stay the same. So there'll be some benefit. I just don't know how much. 58 minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm filling in for Clark on Wednesday, July 4th. So join me for a special Elise Glink show. Clark will be out in the heat, running in the race, and I will be in the cool studio with great information on how you can save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off. Thanks so much for joining me today. Have a great, cool Sunday.